Our scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, I pray now that you would pour your Holy Spirit through me, that these words might truly become your living word to your people. And I pray that you would open up each of our hearts and minds, that we might receive that word exactly in the place that we need to hear it. For we pray this in the name of our risen and reigning Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the true vine of life. Amen. When we are young, most of us think about what we want to be one day when we grow up. Now, oddly enough, I never really thought much about that. There was never any particular line of work that I felt strongly pulled toward. Nowadays, I wonder if the reason for that is that I spent most of my life insisting that the one thing I would never do under any circumstances is go into ministry. Maybe I was just simply refusing to look in the one direction that God was calling me. But as a result, I had no real dreams for a career. Instead, what I have often thought about over the years is what I might do one day when I retire. And one of the things that I have dreamed about is moving out to California or even to New Zealand and working in a winery that makes wonderful Pinot Noir, learning how to care for and tend the vine and make spectacular wine. And so Jesus' image this morning in our text strikes a very strong note with me. Of course, this image of the vineyard would also have struck a very strong note with Jesus' disciples as well. After all, the vineyard had a very long history as a symbol for the nation of Israel. As we just heard a few minutes ago in Psalm 80, you brought a vine out of Egypt, you drove out the nations and planted it, you cleared the ground for it, it took deep root and filled the land. This is a story of the Israelites as God brought them out of Egypt and into the promised land. Of course, God planted them there so that they might bear fruit, the fruit of righteousness as they lived in obedience to God's commandments given to them on Mount Sinai, the fruit of justice as they loved their neighbor as themselves, especially the poor and the widow and the orphan and the foreigner among them, and the fruit of witness, demonstrating to the world around them who God is and what God's intentions are for humanity. Now, unfortunately, Israel repeatedly failed to produce the fruit of this calling for which God had given them his law and planted them in the land. And so God sent the prophets who called the people out for their abandoning God, for worshiping idols and perpetuating injustice. And because of their inability to produce the intended fruit, despite everything that God had done for them, God's judgment was now upon them. And the prophets warned the people about the inevitable consequences of their disobedience. And the fullest depiction of this failed vineyard of Israel is given to us in the 5th chapter of Isaiah, who writes, "Let me sing for my beloved a love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry." And because of Israel's inability to produce the fruit for which they had been planted, God drove the people out of the land as they were carried off into exile. Well, eventually the people were allowed to return to the land, and they rebuilt the temple that had been destroyed by the Babylonians. Centuries later, King Herod the Great greatly expanded and enhanced the entire temple complex. And on the gate into the holy place of the temple was built a massive vine made out of gold. And it had grape clusters coming from it that were as large as a man. And this incredible golden vine became famous throughout the Roman Empire. And so the vineyard became not only a symbol for Israel itself, but it also came to signify the temple, the very place where the presence of God was to be found. And it was perhaps in the shadow of the temple, as Jesus led the disciples across the Kidron Valley and into the Garden of Gethsemane after having washed their feet in the upper room, that Jesus said to them, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower." Now notice the Father's role has not changed. Even in the Old Testament passages, God was always the vine grower. But here Jesus is claiming to be the true vine, the true Israel, even the true temple.
the gateway into the very presence of God. And therefore, being a part of God's covenant people was no longer about being born into the failed vineyard of Israel, but about being attached to Jesus, the true vine. For it is Jesus who fulfilled the role for which Israel had been planted and inaugurated the new covenant that had been foretold by the prophets. And it is only as we remain connected to the true vine of Jesus that we are able to produce the fruit of righteousness and discover life's true meaning, purpose, and joy. The truth is, there are so many people out there, even people in the church, who are trying to find life in something other than Jesus, clinging to some other vine in order to find meaning and sustenance in life. For some of us, it's our work or our marriage or other relationships. For others of us, it's our children, as our own sense of identity and self-worth gets wrapped up in their success. Some of us think that life is found in the next great experience or in receiving accolades. But in the words of Hall of Fame quarterback Tom Brady, after having won his third Super Bowl, there's got to be more than this. This can't be all it's cracked up to be. Right. True joy and meaning in life are found by being connected to the true vine, to Jesus, whose Spirit alone can produce within us the fruit that we were created for. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is why Jesus said, "Abide in me as I abide in you." Just as the branches cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, I find it fascinating how many people are interested in laboring on behalf of Jesus, you know, doing some mission work or some service project or a few good deeds, but they have little, if any, interest in abiding in Jesus, spending time with him, nurturing that relationship, listening for his voice, and obeying his commands. After all, it's a whole lot easier just to do some favors for Jesus than it is to surrender our lives to him. And yet, it is not really our activity that bears fruit for the kingdom, but our relationship with Jesus. I'm going to say that again. It is not really our activity that bears fruit for the kingdom, but our relationship with Jesus. Remember, far more than anything Jesus wants us to do for him is what he wants to do through us. But that can only happen if we remain connected to the true vine. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing that glorifies God, which is our greatest calling in life. And yet so often we still want to do things on our own. That way we get to choose our own assignments,
our own projects, our own convenience, rather than having to go where Jesus tells us and do what he tells us to do. Frankly, we just don't like being told what to do. It bums us out. Now, we prefer to remain in charge, to set the agenda, to be in control. But you know, one of the things that we have such a hard time believing is that true freedom in life is found only in obedience to Jesus. But our culture tells us that submission to anyone amounts to slavery, oppression, or abuse. Obedience means that you have denied yourself, which may be the only real sin in our culture today. In the words of Henry David Thoreau, disobedience is the true foundation of liberty. The obedient must be slaves. So we keep thinking that freedom and joy are found in doing whatever we want, whenever we want, wherever we want. But that's just being a slave to our own desires. And the Bible has a word for that. It's called hell. And if that is what we choose, God will remove us from the vine, granting us what we have already decided to have: life apart from God and his will for our lives. But when we remain connected to the true vine and submit ourselves to Christ's commands, we actually begin to experience the real joy and freedom and power of the Christian life. Think about a sailboat for a minute. If you untie the sail so that it is free to flap away in the wind, going wherever it chooses, it becomes completely useless, fruitless, and the boat can go nowhere. I'm told that when this happens, it's actually called being in irons. But when you take that sail and you tie it down where it was designed to be, and you position it in just the right way, it can harness an enormous amount of power and can take you anywhere you want to go on the water. And the ride can be exhilarating. But you know, so often we think if we could just get rid of all those things in life that tie us down, all the limits, all the boundaries, all the commitments, all the commands, well, then we would find happiness and freedom. But when we're not tied to anything but our own desires, we're not really free. We are in chains, in irons, unable to bear fruit. And it is only a matter of time before life comes to a halt. But when we allow ourselves to be tied to Jesus, connected to the true vine, his power flows through us, and he positions our lives in just such a way to harness that power so that we begin to fulfill the purpose for which we have been made, just like the sail on that sailboat. And when we remain connected to the vine, dwelling in his love and living by his commands, Jesus assures us that he'll give us what we ask for. Of course, we keep expecting Jesus to give us whatever we want without surrendering ourselves to his lordship in our lives. And we typically have a one-way monologue with Jesus, where we just pop in and do all the talking, and he just takes down a laundry list of all of our requests.
But that's not a relationship. We're supposed to be in continuous dialogue with Jesus, listening for his voice, because it is his word that cleanses us and makes us fruitful. And Jesus has so much to say to us. But so often we go to him when we want or need something without having immersed ourselves in his presence or responded obediently to what he's already said to us. And then we wonder why so many of our prayers go unanswered. But when we choose to abide in Jesus and live by his commands, his Spirit lives in us, and it shapes us more into the very image of Jesus. And the Spirit conforms our thoughts and our desires to the thoughts and desires of Jesus. We begin to want the very things that Jesus wants for us. In time, we will discover that what we desire most of all is that his will, rather than our will, be done. And what Jesus wills for all of us is that his joy might be in us. A joy that this world can never understand. Now, to be sure, when we have the joy of Christ in us, that doesn't mean that the Christian life will always be comfortable or easy. For when we begin to produce fruit as a result of our relationship with Jesus, our Heavenly Father, the vine grower, will begin to prune us so that we can produce even more fruit, cutting away branches that are growing in the wrong direction or they're not producing as they should. And this pruning can often be a bit uncomfortable, even painful at times. For God, many of the things that he cuts away are things that we are clinging to. Idols and work and relationships and habits and addictions. Anything that prevents us from responding obediently to the Jesus commands and from producing the fruit of the kingdom as God intended. And the fruit that Jesus desires most of all from us is that we love one another as he has loved us. Of course, that's often the thing that we struggle with the most, isn't it? But the only way it can happen is if we commit ourselves to abiding in Jesus so that he can begin to do it through us. And the truth is, the world around us, our families, our neighbors, our coworkers, are desperate for all of us to abide in Jesus so that we might start producing the fruit of the kingdom of God, which is the only thing that can bring hope and healing to this lost and broken world. And if we as a church family will commit to abiding in him by prioritizing worship, by committing ourselves to spending time in prayer with Jesus and studying his word and having daily devotions with him, there's no telling what kind of fruit he might produce around here. He might even make some of his really good wine and come give us a taste. He has already prepared a table, and he's inviting you to come join yourself to the true vine and partake of his own life so that his death defying joy might be in you. And so that your joy may finally be complete. Amen.